So we're talking about sample data. It has two words. Pay attention to both words. Sample, we've talked about this a bunch. We want a sample to represent whatever we're interested in. We have already expanded the notion of sampling dramatically beyond the way it's usually discussed. Sampling to us is not just the people part of external validity. It's all of external validity. Obviously, who you have data from could change your data. Where they are when they're giving you the data can change the data. What they're doing and what they're interacting with when they give you your data can change your data. And when it is a moment in time in history can matter. So all the elements of external validity are important to us. And obviously, we're collecting data, so measurement validity matters. So we want representation of not only the population in their behavior, but the construct, and we're constantly worrying about confounds. And by confound, what I mean is any variable that we're not trying to study that might change the results we get about what we are studying. When you think about confounds that way, things that change results, then they're important not just for causal hypotheses, but also for associative and even attributive hypotheses. Talked about that a bunch. Now we're thinking, oh hell, those samples give us data. What do we need from the data? Because we've been acting as if these data serve our purposes and needs every time we do a statistical analysis, by hand or stick it into the box. What are the things that our data need to bring with them so that we can do what we want to do? And in my usual massively reductive fashion, I've brought it down to two things. Are the data measured so that the mathematical operations work? We don't think about mathematical operations as having assumptions. We add, subtract, multiply, and divide on a whim. But the values and the result of the mathematical operations need to have particular properties. And we'll talk more about this, but let me hit you with the basic. Most of the values that we care about in data analysis are differences. They're a difference between a person's score and some standard, typically a group mean or a hypothesized mean. And we need those differences to be measured on a ratio scale where zero means none. So that a difference of zero has to mean no freaking difference. Not just a score of zero, but represent no difference. For a difference to have a ratio property, the scores have to have an interval property, that the steps between them all mean the same thing. So that when we subtract them from each other, we can know how far that difference is from zero. So the first thing that we need is our data to be measured so that the mathematical operations work. This is one of the really cool things about nonparametric statistics, is they change the mathematical operations we use so that the operations now fit the data better than they might otherwise. And second of all, that distribution of data needs to be what our statistics assume it is. And right now, that is almost exclusively a normal distribution. And so you've heard before, you need normal data measured on an interval scale. You're going to become intimate with those two elements. All right. So it starts with, what is the purpose of a sample? Two kinds of transformations in the world. Again, massively reductionistic. Don't let a mathematician see this. Even my kid gets squirrely when I show him this. It is comforting to have a mathematician as a child. Hey! Hiya! All right, two kinds of transformations. Linear transformations and nonlinear transformations. Linear transformations are transformations that just use add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Our friends from first grade will continue to be our friends. The typical reason of linear transformations is to re-express data to enhance communication, like percent correct. It's the classic linear transformation. Because if I say, well, they got 6 right, out of what? Because 6 out of 9 is different than 6 out of 15 is different than 6 out of 5. What a bonus point. But if I crank it into a percentage, we're good. And there's a lot of other linear transformations, but they all have the same point. Re-expression to enhance communication. That's what they're there for. I'll tell you some stories and jokes. Linear transformations do not cause changes in null hypothesis significance testing, confidence interval, or effect size results. In other words, if you take everybody's score, you run a t-test, then you add 3 to everyone's score and run the t-test, you get back the same t. Not the same means, there'll be 3 more because you added 3. If you take everyone's height and weight and you correlate them, and then you make everyone 6 inches taller, you'll get back the same correlation. Not the same means and standard deviations, obviously, but the same correlation. If you're doing T's and F's, you have to transform all the scores around the overall mean. Because if you take everybody's scores in this group and translate them into a Z-score with a mean of 0 and a standard deviation of 1, and then you take everybody's scores over here and use a Z-score translation on them, so they all have a mean of 0 and a standard deviation of 1, you've just produced 2 groups that both have a mean of 0. It's going to change the results. But if you take everybody's score, calculate the mean of everybody, calculate the standard deviation of everybody, and turn everybody into that Z-score, you're going to get back exactly the same t-test. Linear transformations done on everybody, the same linear transformation done on everybody doesn't change null hypothesis, confidence interval, or effect size results. We count on that. That's important. Nonlinear transformations. These are transformations that involve other operations. That's about it. Now, there's scads of them, but there's a few that we use pretty often. Squaring, square rooting, and logging are classic examples of the ones you're going to see discussed most often and used most. The purpose of nonlinear transformations is to symmetrize data distribution, to symmetrize data distributions to improve their fit to the assumptions of the statistical analysis. That is, of normal distributions for R's, T's, F's, and our friends. Wait a minute. I know it's one Wednesday. Sometimes Wednesdays start a little slow, but did you just say you're changing your data? Yeah. Well, we're going to have to talk about this. Read the next one. These nonlinear transformations may change the R, T, and F results. Wait, you're not only changing the data, but you may change the results. How is this not cheating? Why is this not cheating? Cheater. The hope is that to transform results will be more accurate because the data better fit the assumptions. There's not much you can do about whether the way you measured your data matches the mathematical operations. But I'm telling you that there may be something you can do if your problem is that the distribution of data isn't normal. Might you be able to operate on it with nonlinear transformations and at least give yourself closer to the sets of assumptions, specifically a more symmetrical distribution? Now, I hear you. And so you're saying that if we do that transformation, we're making the data so it comports better to the assumptions of the model, and we're more likely to get an accurate result, but you're still changing data. Yep. Let's keep going.
If I use my data and I don't like the result, I can just say I want to.
You can, but like, fuck, why bother doing that? You can just change a few scores and get the mean difference you want. This is not the first opportunity to be a dick. But nobody says, well, what if I just change a few scores? What if I transform the data? One of those offends us. The other one we don't even consider. Right? Thank you beautifully for setting that up. I wish I had paid you to do it. But really, okay? Now, one of the first things we talked about a long time ago is that science is public. It happens in public, which means if you're going to fuck with your data, you got to do it in public. There have to be reasonable standards for making decisions and total transparency when you do something to your data that is designed to change the results. Not just might, but intended to. Literally what we're saying is, and this is on a homework assignment, I'm giving you the answer to a homework assignment. If I have you do an ANOVA on raw data and cleaned data and they don't match, which do you prefer? You prefer the clean data. Big swallow, big breath. Big breath, everybody keep breathing. I love this stuff. It was really fun to be coming through school when the really big fights were happening, when the big arguments were going on, whether this was going to make things better or just a total avenue for fuck all. Let me tell you the magic phrase that we're going to use over and over. Ready? Hypothesis blind. Just make that a friend. The notion of hypothesis blind is that you don't do something because it makes the data support your hypothesis. You do something whether it helps your hypothesis or not because you're supposed to do it that way. Okay? In fact, according to the notion of hypothesis blind and public science, you should check your data before you do any analyses. Not hurry and do some analyses and then look at it and go, transformations, and reanalyze. We're going to have this same problem in the spring. It's my favorite. Because we're going to do a bivariate analysis and we're going to get an answer about how these two variables relate to each other. Then we're going to make them part of a multivariate analysis and we're not going to have the same idea about how these two variables relate to each other and which one is true. Do we say, God bless bivariate statistics, I've known it longer, it must be the truer of them, and those nasty multivariate statistics that give us the wrong idea? Or is the model that includes more or excludes less more likely to get the answer right, and bivariate statistics are a trip up, always have been, godly knows why we learn them at all. You want to tell really good lies? You don't tell your good lies with multivariate statistics. You tell your good lies with bivariate statistics. I'll show you examples.
Check your data after you've transformed them. Why on the last slide do we hope that they feel better?
That is an awesome question. I might have used the word intention. Okay? But there are choices to make. And that's why it's a guess and check thing. You say, well, given how the data are fucked up, this is my best guess how to make it better. So let's do that and then see if it got better. Not by running the stats yet, but by looking at the distribution. So if I do a transformation trying to symmetrize something, I better go get the skewness afterwards and see if it worked. Because there are ways to booger this up. So that's, you know me, I use words like this. I could have said intention, but that wouldn't have been completely honest. We are hoping. Because if this doesn't work, what do we do with the data? If we can't make the data so that they're analyzable by the techniques we know, we either toss it out or learn more techniques, which is the other part of this section. Great question. Linear transformations are absolutely and perfectly predictable. Now remember, when I say linear transformation, what I mean is transformation of every score by a constant. So when I say an additive operation, I mean we add the same amount to every score. When we add the same amount to every score, the mean changes by that amount, and the standard deviation does not change. We're just moving the whole distribution up and down as we add and subtract. When we multiply and divide, we're moving it up and down and also stretching and shrinking it. But we are not changing the shape of the distribution. If you take a distribution and you look at what proportion of the distribution is in what chunks, and then you divide it by 1612.2, making it a lot skinnier, it will still have the same proportional distribution. Additive transformations only change the mean. They don't change the standard deviation. They don't change the skewness. They don't change the kurtosis. They don't change the continuity. Anything you want to measure, they don't change except the mean. Multiplicative, which is both multiplying and dividing, changes both the mean and the standard deviation, but not the shape. So not the continuity, not the skewness, not the kurtosis. Ease of communication. If I put something in a system that we know, we're better off. And percent correct. Don't underestimate this. This is a combined linear transformation. We are dividing and multiplying. There's two linear transformations here. Why? Because I don't want to think about how you're doing relative to your max. Just give me a value that tells me that. I don't want to have to pay attention to the fact that quiz 1 was 100 points, quiz 2 was 120 points, and I have to think about what a 90 means different on. No, screw all that. Give me a percentage. The other linear transformations are just other versions of the same thing. Give me something I can use. It all started with z-scores. Z-scores are how statisticians like to operate on data because they are so sweet to operate on. You got a mean of 0 and a standard deviation of 1. Squaring, square rooting, multiplying, anything you do to 1 goes quickly and well. And remember, all of this stuff was done in the days of hand calculations and proofs of everything. And so, mean of 0, standard deviation of 1, ho-ho, and ease of communication. So what you do is, remember, it's just linear transformations. If I take a bunch of values with a particular mean and subtract the mean from all of them, the new mean is going to be 0. If I take those new scores that have been additively transformed and I then do a multiplicative transformation, dividing each of them by the standard deviation, if I divide the standard deviation by the standard deviation, it's now 1. And we have a thing that we can apply broadly and well. Some of the first people to pick this up were educators. From an educational perspective, there's kind of a problem here. It's not a huge problem in math. It's not a problem in statistics, but it is a problem in communication and the mental health of people. Because in a Z distribution, half the people have a negative score. And who wants to tell their kid you're a negative? And I shit you not, that's where the T-score came from. As people started using standardized scores broadly to represent personality measures, performance measures, nobody wants to tell half of the people, well, you're a negative. You are below 0. Live with it. And so along came T-scores. Let's take that Z-score with a mean of 0 and a standard deviation of 1 and multiply it times 10. Now I've got a mean of 0 and a standard deviation of 10. Add 50. Now, 10 and 50, why'd they use 50 and 10? There's too many stories about that to guess. But a lot of different people seem to have landed on it at the same time. It kind of gives a range from 0 to 100 if you go out 5 standard deviations in each direction. And no matter how big your population or how whiny you are, detail-oriented, not whiny, you hardly ever have to think about operating beyond five standard deviations. So it actually sort of took us back to the same scale as percentage, which comforted some people. And you have to be five standard deviations below the mean before you have a negative score. And some might say that, you know, those deserve it. And then came the large testing companies and large standardized tests. Iowa tests, ACTs, GREs, nearly all of whom, which, when they came out, used standardized tests, which is a mean of 500 and a standard deviation of 100. Why? Because they're more important and we need a larger scale for them. Your GRE, which originally came as the aggregate of your verbal and your quantitative, now has an average of 1,000. Way more important than your classroom test or your personality that only has a mean of 50. Yeah, I know, it doesn't make any sense at all. But that's where it came from. The linear transformation that, whether you know it or not, drives your world is taking a score, operating on it multiplicatively and additively, and getting a version of the score that is a mimic of something else. Y prime isn't a better predictor of Y than X, because Y prime is just X linearly transformed. The correlation between X and Y is exactly the same as the correlation between Y prime and Y, because the correlation between X and Y prime is 1. It's just a linear transformation that doesn't change things. So why do it? If Y prime is no better than X as a predictor, why bother? Because Y prime is a better mimic. Y prime is set up so that the mean of Y prime matches the mean of Y. So that if you have an estimated GPA, it looks like a GPA score. You won't get an estimated GPA of a group of people with an average of 14. You're going to get something that looks like a GPA score. And the standard deviation of Y prime is as close as possible to the standard deviation of Y. Y prime is not a better predictor, but it's a better value. It's a better mimic. It's easier to work with. The most common linear transformation on the planet is still the percentage. Keep in mind that I've never studied this. I've never figured out a way to get somebody to pay me to do this or even buy the data. But it is my claim that the majority of people, when they say they're calculating a percentage, actually calculate a proportion. And as you know, a percentage of 0.1 is very different than a proportion of 0.1. Now, I started this by saying, when we say linear transformation, we mean linear transformation by a constant. Every score has the same thing done to it. A constant is added, subtracted, multiplied, or divided. Multiple doesn't matter, still by a constant. And so there in purple, perhaps highlighting the fact that it's different than the others, which are in green, is a change score. Change scores are used a lot in all kinds of behavioral sciences. A change score is not a linear transformation because there's no constant involved. I take one of your scores and I subtract from it another one of your scores. It's the difference between two variables. It's not a linear transformation. It's a linear operation, but it's not a linear transformation because it doesn't use a constant. So there's a tour of linear transformations. The thing to remember is convenience. Communication, expression, simplicity, clarity. But it doesn't change the statistical results.